Nationwide, crime is dominating the headlines here in America. The...
Someone has murdered, I think.
I just shot and killed my son Max and my wife Michelle.
We are attempting to stay 1 week at the official conjuring house.
Yes. Recipes, poverty, drugs, child abuse.
There's someone standing right here. You're gonna get back to hell where you came from.
Studio Sinister.
We have an awesome guest for you this evening, Sinister Seekers. Meet Sophia. She's been chatting with the other side since she was a kiddo, and let me tell you, her stories are anything but ordinary. From ghostly giggles to spirits that just want to have fun, Sophia has seen it all. She's the real deal in the supernatural world, and she's here to spill the tea on all of her spooky friends and supernatural encounters. So let's give a big warm welcome to Sophia. How are you? And thank you for being here.
I'm good.
Courtney, I don't know if I told you where I came across Sophia. I had joined a Facebook group. It's like Dogman Encounters and more. I just wanted to bring someone new that I haven't seen in our feed. But I'm so glad that you selected to be with us this evening, Sophia. But tell us a little bit about you, where you came from, what started your supernatural journey, wherever you feel comfortable starting it.
So I have to go from memory. I actually come from a long line of psychic mediums. I come from a big family of 10. I have 4 brothers and 5 sisters. And there's 5 of us that have it. And I'm the one who you can say uses it the most. But my mother had it, has it, I should say. And her mother had it. But as I'm getting older, I can feel that it's getting stronger. Like when I walk down the street here where I live, I can know what's going on, so to speak, in everybody's home. I tell people that neighbors don't want to talk to me.
Aw.
No.
So it seems your ability does go through your family. We just spoke with a psychic medium last week, and same thing. Her grandmother and her mom had the ability. Is that usually how it works?
I found that out after speaking to my siblings. A lot of them don't want to use it. I think they're afraid of it. They are in my family, but I remember when I was little, my first encounter, I talked to some friends today too. They said, do you remember the first thing that happened to you? And I do. I was probably 5 or 6 years old. I'm from Wisconsin. I grew up in Appleton, Wisconsin. We lived on a farm. And I remember I was playing in my bedroom and I came out and it stopped me dead in my tracks. And there was a lady who had on, I call it period clothes, where she had the big bustle on in the back. I remember the color was lavender, and she had on these long gloves and a big hat. But she just cut right in front of me, and I almost smacked right into her. And I thought, well, I looked, I thought, where'd you come from? And I still remember seeing her because I was like, wow, I thought you're really pretty. Had on a big, like I said, a big hat, these long gloves, and she was just moving along really slow because the dress, I'm sure, looked like it was really heavy. And then she just walked along, and all of a sudden, poof, she was gone. I said, okay. And I was going that way after she was gone. I went that way about my business and I didn't think anything of it. And then a couple years later, I was older and we had an attic door across from the bedroom. And the door creaked open and I saw 3 heads like skulls. The eyes were like blinking at me and smiling. And I just thought, okay, I just stood there and looked at it and smiled back. I didn't think anything of it. What was I going to do as a kid? I didn't know. But they blinked and smiled back at me, so I just smiled. And come to find out later on that our place that we're renting up north, that it was a man and a woman that had the place. Then they hired a ranch hand. So the wife was having an affair with the ranch hand. The husband shot the ranch hand, then his wife, then himself. It was Fred Even Ron. And they found out that these were the people that had lived there. Must have been years ago, because we used to hear chains being dragged across the top of the barn floor, everything.
I've actually had a similar experience, mainly just the chains portion of it. That can be very scary. Yeah.
Very unnerving. I mean, you'd hear it. It was loud.
And there's no other way to describe it other than chains being dragged across a hard surface. That's quite the experience to have as a child.
And it was strange. We'd hear it. We wouldn't think anything of it. What are you going to do? Because the time you're down on the bottom part with the hay, given to the horses, and we'd hear it late at night. We'd run around the top, and then nothing there. And these people that we're renting from, they left an old piano, and we'd hear the piano playing. And it just got to the point where it was just all the time. And then up north, they would call it the Yeti, not Bigfoot. They'd call it Yeti. So obviously we had a lot of horses up there. It came to the point, like I said, where we had to leave because the horses were ending up out of their stall in the middle of the aisle. A few of them had their legs broken off right here, separated from their body.
Wow. That takes a lot of strength to do that.
Sure it does. It was just cut right off and there was no blood. I've never told anybody this before, but there was no blood. Cut off right here, one of the limbs. When the horse was laying down, you couldn't get up.
Right.
So the vet would have to come out and kill.
At that point, there's nothing you can do.
It isn't broke, whatever. You can't put it back on. I remember when I was a little kid, they would drag it out of the barn with a hoist and put it down. My mom's like trying to shield us from seeing this, but we'd look at our bedroom window and watch it. But it was just weird stuff. And my one sister, my oldest sister, she doesn't want to talk about this stuff. But she would go on dates or whatever with guys and come home, maybe dark, whatever. And she'd hear heavy breathing in the trees around the property.
Oh, my God.
She was petrified. She moved out of there when she was 18. And then I remember one time I asked, my one brother passed away in August. And I asked him last year, I said, Gary, what was that about? Because I remember I was a kid when we were in the kitchen. I said, I remember you and Steven were trying to get in the house so fast. Like how you see somebody tumbling, running so fast. Both of them were like trying to get ahead of each other. We're like, what are they doing?
Trying to outrun each other.
And they're like grabbing on each other's shirts. And I thought, first we couldn't figure out if they're running or they're fighting, right? Because they never got along. So we're looking out the kitchen window in the backyard. And we're like, okay. So it's like a hallway back there. They're both trying to get in the door at the same time. I'm like, okay, we're like, they're going to come in fighting? What are they doing? So they come in the back door. Then they're both grabbing onto the door frames, trying to get in. They were just white as a ghost. And my mom's like, what is the matter with you two? And they're fighting and hanging on each other. And they're standing in the kitchen, between the living room and the kitchen. And we're like looking at them like, what are they doing? What's going on? And I remember they're saying, there's something out there. There's something out there. And we're just looking at them. We didn't understand.
Did you ever hear that breathing when you were outside?
She wouldn't let us out there.
Oh, okay.
At night, we had to come in.
Before all of this, Sophia, did you ever hear any stories about this, like through your families, down through the generations?
Yeah, like my sister, we heard stories from the people up the street. There were some Native Americans, and they knew. They said it was
the hairy man.
Yeah, Bigfoot. Okay. First, we're thinking it was bears. My family was like, it was bears. No, the Native Americans said it was Yetis.
There are many types of hairy men. Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Yeti, feral people. There's ones that are more aggressive, ones that are more tame, quiet. But for the different parts of the country, they call them all different things.
Right? I was going to ask. I was thinking, are they not, full disclosure, Sophia, I'm very skeptical when it comes to cryptozoology and stuff like that. But if there were ever one, in my opinion, to exist, it would be Bigfoot or whatever you want to call it. So I guess roundabout way of asking, they're all the same with different sort of like regional interpretations of it.
Where you live.
Okay.
And what they're going to call it. And that was Appleton, Wisconsin. And now I live in Heartland, Wisconsin. I've seen the dog man out here twice in my backyard. I don't know if you guys knew that.
I knew just because we went over what we were going to discuss on this episode, but yeah, it's the one cryptid that I hope and pray that I see one day. I think I saw a little bit of one before, but I'm speaking up close, personal, hands down. You will not be able to say it's anything else but the dog man.
I tell people I wouldn't go at the end of the movie because in a couple of movies with Linda Godfrey, she was the one that would track this thing and write about it and everything from Elkhorn. That's where it started in Wisconsin, big time. 2014, I'm out on the back patio at 1:30 in the morning with my little Yorkie. I was going to take her out there and let her do a business. Full moon, hot out. So I take her out there and we have a 3-tier deck. I go out there and look. All of a sudden, everything stops. Noise, nothing.
Ooh.
I'm like thinking, okay, what is this? Still, there's usually kids running around, the crickets, whatever. Mm-hmm. You still hear birds out then because it's summer. And then I look over to the back of the left of my property, see something moving in the tree line. I go, okay, what the heck is this? Watching it, and it's huge. My dog and I just stood still, watching it. We're quiet. And so it's coming out of the tree line, and they have tall evergreens. I call them Italian evergreens. I thought it was two kids playing a trick on me with one on top of the other with a coat on, right? I'm thinking, what is that? So I'm watching it and watching it. Here it comes out of the trees more and more because the trees are thinner and there's more space between it. I keep on watching. I'm standing with my dog. She's down right next to me. So I'm looking at it, and here I get a picture of it, and it's probably 7 feet tall at least.
Wow.
And it's walking up on canine legs, bent, like north. We had Siberian Huskies, look like a wolf. We had probably, I don't know, 15 horses. We had a goat. We had a fox for a pet, all kinds of stuff. So I know what the animals are.
Right.
So this thing had legs that were bent, like a Z, straight up. And then its arms were down to, call it its arms, were down to its knees, swinging.
And that is exactly what I picture in my head.
Can I ask really quick? I know that you mentioned Elkhorn, Wisconsin. Are what you talking about the same thing as the Beast of Bray Road? Have you all heard that story? Is that the same entity?
That's okay. They filmed Josh Gates, Expedition X and Expedition Unknown. I went down there.
Oh my gosh, yes. I watched that episode. They had actually caught something on the side of the road at night, and you can see it has glowing eyes. You also see this black silhouette shaped like a wolf, but huge, like a dire wolf size. And all of a sudden, it had this weird motion when it went away. It wasn't like a normal animal turns and scatters away or turns and walks away. It just drifted away, and you couldn't hear anything. You couldn't hear it walking, running. It was unreal.
What's crazy, too, about Elkhorn, Wisconsin, if my memory serves me correct, I think he works at local animal control documenting these cases.
That was right out here in Hubertus.
Okay.
Right? It was the other way. And Linda talked to him, who actually, he picked up roadkill. Is what he did. And then he was loading up a dead deer. I think this was like 15 years ago. He loaded up a dead deer in the back of his truck, got in the truck, and then looked in his rearview mirror. You'll find it on YouTube. And looked in his rearview mirror, and it was the dog man grabbed the dead carcass out of his truck.
I had heard about that. Yeah. That's wild.
That's exactly what he did.
Just a short side note. Before I was ever into the paranormal and cryptozoology, I actually had been to Appleton, Wisconsin, and Elkhorn. I used to go to big softball tournaments up there. So I know the area that you're talking about. It's a beautiful place. It's lush, mountainous, foresty.
I live in Lake Country is what it's called. So there's all kinds of lakes around me, right around that area. And I'm only maybe 40 minutes from Elkhorn.
You're right where, like I would say, at the precipice of all of the dogman sightings that are in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's awesome.
There's been 100 of them reported to the police. And then when I saw this thing, you know, I looked up and thinking, what the? I'm just looking at it. And all of a sudden, when I figured out what it was, because it had such a hairy chest, big. It was all, then I thought, that's all fur. I'm a pastor. And I thought, what the hell is that? Then I'm thinking, but your mind can't get it straight. Thinking, am I seeing what I'm seeing? It took me literally a couple of days to get it through my head. Because you're raised as kids, there's no monsters, boogeymen. After I saw that, that changed my mind. No, I'm thinking, no. That's why these people that get onto these groups and tell you, oh, they laugh at other people? No, until you've had one, shut your mouth.
And I do hear a lot from people that have had dogmen or Bigfoot encounters that when they've come face to face with it, no matter how close or far away, they're looking at each other pretty much. They freeze because in their mind, it's just trying to understand what they're looking at. Because we've been taught for so long that there's no monsters, there's no boogeyman, like you said. It's just us. We're the only ones here in the cosmos.
And I was standing there, and then it kept coming this way. There was no noise, no crickets, nothing. I'm standing there watching it, and I was going to say, clever twin sister, and we used to communicate telepathically. So I'm going to say, hey, what are you doing? This thing made me stand there with my dog, and it was like, frozen. I couldn't
move. Petrified?
I couldn't move. I remember feeling myself shake and I couldn't move. But I remember saying, hey, what are you doing? And I know the thing read my mind. I know it read my mind that I was, that's what I said to it. But it wouldn't answer me. Like I have telepathy, like what the woman did today. She had this thing that's infatuated with her spirit, Ryan. He thought this woman, Haley, was his, he's deceased, but she looks a lot like his wife. So he's attached to her. I'm just like, Haley, that's what he just said. And then I got him to talk. But it's just strange.
Going back real quick, when you said you were looking at this thing and you were frozen, I've heard of infrasound. A lot of people talk about this might be something that Bigfoot does or other cryptids do. There's also animals that do it. The animals prey or victims, or in this situation, it knows that someone is looking at it, but it makes them not be able to move. It confuses them, so they just sit there. And that way the predator can prey on it, or in your instance, get away.
Some people say that you're stuck. And yes. After that, the thing went up between the two houses and I just watched it walk. And I'm like, then when it was gone out of sight, then I could move.
Did it look at you at all, Sophia?
It turned around and it looked at me and it looked like a little dog face, little bitty ears, huge body. I couldn't see its eyes. It was far away, but that's what it looked like, a little dog. And I thought, what is that? And then I was still stuck. I tell people I was stuck to the ground. And then it turned and it walked away. And as soon as it was gone out of sight, then I can move. I picked my little Yorkie up. I walked backwards. I almost tripped into the house. I walked backwards and went in the door and it woke my husband up. I said, you're not going to believe what I saw. He goes, I don't want to know.
That sounds like my husband.
That's crazy.
And I went and I opened up the blinds. I'm peeking through the blinds. I was just like, who was that? What the hell was mm-hmm. that? So I went and Googled dog man. Sure enough, Linda's stuff came up. So that night I emailed her and said, I think I saw something in my backyard. So she came out the next day and then we're looking for footprints. Sure enough, they're there.
What did the footprints look like? Just out of curiosity.
And they're huge. We took the picture of the footprints and then the tree that this thing walked under, right? It died.
Oh,
the tree died. That was
that's
first
eerie. Tree.
And then I'm thinking, what are you doing, Linda? July is really hot and dry, right? This thing left footprints. I said, okay. She goes, I'm getting a gauge how heavy it was. Oh, okay. Because it sunk into the dirt. This thing was probably between 700 and 1,000 pounds. I said, oh, now I know what you're doing.
Whoa. Okay.
So it was pretty big. It was probably about 7 feet tall because it went under that one tree, that little tree on the end of their berm out there. But it died. So then the second time I saw this thing was probably a year and a half later. I went out my service door. It was in October. I remember that because it was getting cold. So I let my little Yorkie out on the leash, open the door. There's the other neighbors have a tree line over there. Now, mind you, the first one was big and had a dark color on it, a little bit of gray, but it had a big chest. The second one that I saw was in between the bushes and it had a longer nose. If you ever had an animal that had mange, it had patches of hair missing all over it.
I feel like that always comes up in descriptions of specifically what's going on in Wisconsin. They describe it as a mangy, wolf-like beast, essentially, but it's not a wolf because it's way too large.
The first one didn't. The second one did. And to me, I'm thinking, okay, the first one was a young one. You know how some men are, they bodybuild. The second one to me was an older one. Had a longer nose, losing its hair. It was light gray. You know how people's hair gets grayer as they get older? I'm thinking this was an older one. Let the dog out and it growled at me. Of course, I'm in close proximity of it, aren't I? She turned around and ran back in.
The dog man encounter that I thought I seen on my property in Whitleyville, Tennessee, I captured a picture of it. It was through the trees. I could see the outline of it. It was all black, longer nose. And then there was this other time where I thought I had an encounter. I was out for a walk in the middle of nowhere, and this animal darted out in front of me. And I'm talking, there is no animal that I know of that could have came up this embankment so fast and so clean without me even hearing it. It's almost like it glided up the thing. And then, as I was saying, it darted out in front of me. It looked like it was on all fours, but the front legs weren't as big as the back legs. And the back legs bowed out like if you looked at me and I was doing the chicken dance, like my elbows coming outward. It was very awkward looking. It looked at me and it ran away. And this thing was all black and it had a brown, like a burnt brown, orangish underbelly. But from talking with people that research cryptozoology, there's a few different dogmen species, as well as there's different Bigfoot species, just like there's different ethnicities of us.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
It's like people. There's different people, isn't there?
And in your experience with this thing, Sophia, do you see it as a flesh and blood creature, just that, or do you see it as flesh and blood and supernatural, where it can use vortexes to get to and fro? What's your opinions on that?
People have asked me that, and to me, they are flesh and blood, but also I live on Indian land out here. There was an Indian that appeared to me in my daughter's bedroom one morning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he had on a white top and bottom canvas. I could see the leather strip that held up together. He had the braids on, and he was cross-eyed. And I went and looked it up, and there was a tribe out here years ago that was known for the cross-eyed. And I'm like, why did he appear to me? I had to figure it out. And I did figure it out, and I sent it down to the historical society because years ago, this town was not named Heartland. It was named Hershey. And they didn't have it even at the historical society. So I had to figure it out, and it was just bothering the heck out of me. Why did he appear to me? It didn't tell me anything telepathically. I think it was back in the early 1800s is what I was getting, that there was a trader out here, and he was trading with two tribes of Indians. And back then, it was really rough trading with the Indians. But he named the town Hershey. And there was another guy that came out here. His name was Heartland. He didn't quite get along with the rest of them. So he inevitably, what he did was trick Heartland and the Indians and took over the town and pushed the Indians out.
Unfortunately, it's the typical story that we hear frequently.
Yeah.
Exactly what it is. As I said, we have an acre of property out here. I thought, why are you bothering me? So I went and printed it out from long back. And as I said, they didn't even have it on the historical society.
Did he just, I'm wondering, maybe wanted it to be?
You're damn right. I mean, that was their land. They want credit for it. It wasn't the white settlers that cultivated it. They did.
Yeah, they were here because one of the tribes was, what I gathered from my abilities, that one of the tribes was really rough. Obviously, they would scalp people, but that's part of their heritage. The other tribe was not like that. That's the one that was known for its cross-eyed, which one of my brothers had lazy eyes. The muscle is lazy. They do it now with therapy, cards and stuff like that. But that's what I found out.
How do you differentiate between the spirits that you come in connection with?
The question, I had one here 2 months ago, and his name was Timber, and I could feel he was here. I was in the kitchen. And I said, I can feel there's a spirit here. I can feel their energy. And I said, do you want to talk to me? And the other spirits wouldn't talk to me at all. They're quiet. So then obviously that gives me a clue that there's something here that's not welcome, negative. I turn on my Vox box. Nobody was talking, not saying a word. He was down the hallway between two of our bedrooms. I cornered him. Give me your name. And he finally gave it to me. I said, Timber. Okay, Timber. I said, you get out here. Come out here and come into the living room and talk to me. He didn't want to talk to me. I said, I know what you are. You're not a spirit. You're something else. So I said, I'm going to walk you right out the front door. And I did. I made him leave.
That's powerful.
I told Haley this morning, I said, a lot of people don't know that when you order packages, they travel. And I was at my friend's funeral today, and he said the same thing the pastor did in his speech, spirits travel. I'm like, yeah, that's what they do. They get on packages. They travel, boom, that's how they get from place to place.
Courtney and I always ask people if we're doing a paranormal episode, if anyone can answer, do you think they travel? How do they travel? Because long story short, we had covered Virginia City, Nevada, which is one of the most haunted ghost towns, if you will, in America. And there was this woman, Rosie, that kept coming up in the different motels, saloons.
Everywhere. She was at every freaking haunt that there was in that town.
Packages, or they'll attach themselves to people and let go and travel. That's how they get there, is traveling through. That's what I thought. I poked this one of the girl beside me. I said, you hear that? She goes, what? Then I told her later on, we're having lunch. I said, that pastor up there said, spirits travel. She said, okay. Then I explained it to the group of people. I said, this is how they get from place to place. I tell people too that you go to the cemetery, and I have a video. I think I have it on my Facebook page. I went through the Heartland Cemetery up here, and this spirit was running right beside my car, my SUV. And I looked around, and I'm like, I almost freaked out because I'm driving and recording it. And he got closer. Get away from the car. He said, are you really a psychic medium? I said, I am. And he said, so God gave you this gift. I said, yeah, he did. And I know. Sometimes I don't want it. I said, because it keeps me up at night and I hear them talking. I said, a couple weeks ago, I had 100 of them that were trying to talk to me at once. I said, I had such a bad headache, like they were crushing my head.
Have you ever helped anyone, Sophia, in an unexpected way? It was just you felt to tell someone out of the blue something to help them or guide them in some way?
A lot of people. Yep. This girl today, she was curious about what I do because she heard me on a podcast. She didn't know she had somebody attached to her. I've got something called remote viewing where I can see what's going on. Do you miss things every once in a while, like your keys are moved or this or that? And she said, I do. I said, upstairs. She looked at me. She said, oh my God, it's this guy in your home. I asked her if she was ever married before. She goes, no. This is your first marriage? She said, yeah. This guy is telling me that you're married to him first. This is what he's telling me. His name is Ryan. You were married to him first. Obviously, he's deceased. Let me get some more information from him. He saw you, came to your house. He thinks you look like his wife. So he's confused. So then I turned on my Vox box here in my Bluetooth speaker so she could hear it. She was listening to him. I said, okay, Ryan, are you infatuated with Kylie? Yes.
Oh, that's actually cute in like a spooky way.
I've had some of them. I do a listening session. And I posted it on my Facebook a month ago because I have lupus. I get tired. So I was laying down one afternoon to do a listening session, which you just hear their talk and their words and things like that. But you can still record like the background. So I was doing one in the bedroom and you know, some of the light was still coming through. And I just went and looked at it from a year ago. And then I looked at it and this thing says, can you feel me? I felt the blanket move. First I'm thinking dogs, right? This thing laying on top of me. I said, get off of me.
Yeah, that's creepy. Not so much as some guy being like, you remind me of my wife and I'm confused.
Right. And do you physically see these people almost as real as you and I, or are they translucent?
They're both. And one of them I have posted to on my Facebook as a video and a solid snap, the picture that he was trying to materialize. But he was like a clear, almost like a clear white. And he was standing right here beside me. I didn't know it. I said, why don't you show yourself? I was doing the video. And then he started appearing, looked like little squares. And he started showing himself. And I didn't know it. I was looking in a different direction. Here he was right beside me. So I went back and I looked at the video. And then there he was. I slowed it down really slow and stopped it and snapped some pictures. But you could see his head and his body was starting to materialize.
Is there a specific spirit that comes around frequently or bothers you constantly?
I believe their names are John and Paul and Connie. And they have an English accent. I said, are you from the UK? They said, no. I said, where are you from? They moved to Asia. And then I'm like, you two guys were best friends in life, weren't you? Yeah. They used to come around for 2 months, but Connie comes around. You can hear her voice on my recordings.
So Connie wasn't like associated with the other two at all? She just was another spirit that kind of...
Yeah, she was separate.
Okay.
She was separate. And I used to have a young man that came around. He played with the dogs when I first got the dogs. You could see him sit on top of the dog cage, but he'd come around too all the time.
Oh my God, Sophia, you just have so many experiences. You're the right person to ask. What can you tell us about the other side?
The producers of that movie, After Death.
Yeah.
They sent me an advance ticket to go. I went and saw it and they asked me what my thoughts were on it. I said, that's exactly what the spirits tell me, that life is like after death. People think, obviously, there's a heaven and hell, that's what we're taught. I said, that's exactly what they tell me, that it's beautiful there. The colors are so vibrant. Nobody fights. Nobody has to work. They don't eat. Their homes are the same. They go bike riding. The grass is so green. But they don't have to have it cut. It stays the same. Everything is beautiful there. Nobody fights. Everybody gets along. The colors are amazing. The mountains. I told them, I said, that's exactly what they told me. In the movie, they have a couple of doctors and neurologists and somebody else too, that these people have come back to life. Ask these people what it was like. And it was the same thing that the spirits tell me. It's beautiful here. I'm happy here. And I thought, okay. Because some people get on and say, I wish they weren't deceased. I'm like, that was their time to go. But I can see what they see, what they're looking at over there. I had a gentleman who got on YouTube live and I invited him to come on. His name was Josh, I think, 2 years ago. He said, can you find my brother? So I called him forward. And I told him, I can see what happened to your brother. He was in California, wasn't he? Your brother was a free spirit, a hippie. He said, that's right. I said, I can see what happened to him. My dad used to sell cars. I know all kinds of cars, exactly what he was driving. I said, he was driving a green Dart with a black top. He got head on in a collision. They don't know what hit him. Your brother's name is Tom. He said it was. I said he was with Drew. They were going to a gig. He played the guitar. And then I would ask, call Tom Ford, and then you would hear guitar music. He goes, that's his guitar. I said, okay, you confirmed it. And then Tom had to learn how to talk. Normally when I bring the spirits forward, they have to learn how to talk. And you can hear him on my Vox box. And then Drew, he says to me, I've gone to a psychic like you. I was at a party. I said, what'd she tell you? He said that she told me that Tom went to the other side. I said, no, he didn't. And he's right here talking to a real psychic. He wanted me to have Tom go to the other side. I said, Tom comes along with Drew. He said he does. He's got a different alternative lifestyle, doesn't he? He said, well, you could put it that way. Your family didn't like it, but that's his choice. Tom and Drew are together. I can ask them if they want to go to the light. And Drew piped up and said, no, we don't want to go to the light. I said, Joshua, did you hear that? He heard it, and then look, Josh was gone.
You are very connected to these spirits, but I think you already know that. In your opinion, do they have a choice to stay earthbound, go to that white light, or are they stuck in a certain dimension? What are your thoughts on that?
To me, three different layers. There's a realm in between, and then there's a white light like heaven, okay? And then there's for people who are narcissists and things like that. But I recorded a Vox session on my phone last week. I just got home from grocery shopping and they wanted me to talk to them. It was a couple that wanted my attention. I posted their names right on the video. It was Roxy and Ralph. They wanted me to move them on to the white light. Turns out, and this is not unusual, there was a dark entity bothering them and holding them back. I said, you leave the other ones alone. They have no control over you. Don't listen to them. You go about your business and don't listen to them.
No Can I ask, in going off of that subject, a couple weeks back, I spoke to someone on my show, Haunts. Her name's Tina Irwin, and she calls herself and operates as a ghost helper. She explained it as, and obviously there could be different interpretations of this, but she said that a lot of times when a ghost, like a human spirit, is haunting a certain location and hasn't crossed over, that can attract the negative sort of entities to them. Is that something that you've seen in your work?
They come there on their own. Like, I've got probably 100 of them here.
Oh.
They'll travel and they'll go out the door. I tell them, you can come here, but you better behave. If you're not, then you can't come here. But a lot of them are down here in the basement where I am. Some of them will follow me into the bathroom. So, and Alexander and Connie, they're like, we need your help. He's got us tied off in your living room. I said, who does? Eugene. I said, Eugene. Then I remember I went and visited a cemetery plot. Eugene, he was pre-Civil War, came home with me. I said, where is he? He's got us over by your cemetery. I said, Eugene, you're deceased. A lot of times they don't know they're deceased. You let those people go. You're not a soldier anymore. So you're going back. Don't you have the wits about you to know that you're deceased?
Do you think trauma has anything to do with what happens to them in the afterlife or what they know, what they don't know?
There's a good movie that I was watching called Electric Mist. Tommy Lee Jones, isn't it? It's a murder mystery. He goes back into the bayou down in Louisiana and he runs into the spirit and shakes hands with them. And he said, you don't believe what you're seeing, but you're seeing me. And he was a spirit. I want to tell you a few things about what goes on down here in the bayou, because there's some people that are mean and it's the government. So I went and recorded that segment when I stopped it. And I'm just like, and I posted it. I said, isn't this true of today's event?
Well, we know that you have amazing amount of stories with the paranormal. Do you have any experiences with high strangeness?
That's a good question. No.
I had that dog man go in front of my property again and put a footprint. He was looking in my daughter's window. And I had Bigfoot in the back of my property by Memorial Day, I think 2 or 3 years. And it smelled like garbage. I'm like, what is that? So I walked around my berm way in the back, and here the footprints are. I took a picture of them. They're huge.
Oh, my God.
And it was background in the grass. I never had any encounters with aliens. Both my kids are autistic. She'd say to me, Mom, there's a monster looking in the window. And I'd say, I'm going to beat his ass. They're curious. First incident I had, I called the police. And he says, why didn't you call me right away? I said, first off, my husband didn't want me to. Second, I'm wondering if you're going to believe me. It sounds like you've had previous phone calls. And by the way, your demeanor is. He said, I would have loved to have caught this thing. One of the cops was shorter than me. I said, what would you have done with that? I said, what a creep you.
And he might have had a chance with the mangy one, but not the Planet Fitness dog man.
Also, a woman 3 houses from me, it was looking in her back kitchen window. Your animals will peer in your window. like raccoons and squirrels. They'll come and look in the window. I had a darn squirrel here. We have a skylight in the bathroom. I look up, go to the shower. There it is, flat on my skylight.
That would be quite the sight to see.
I was like, I gotta stop her. Like, not when I'm naked.
What's some advice that you can give to people that are experiencing the paranormal or learning that they have paranormal abilities?
Our mom sat us down when I was a teen, and all my sisters but one are older than me. And my mom said to us, I have this gift, and probably all you girls have it. And obviously, here I am later, older than her when she sat us down and told us. And I thought, oh God, I apologize to my mom for it. Even 10, 12 years ago, 15 years ago, it was still taboo to talk about spirits and things like that because people would think you're not mentally ill. People have more open minds of things that are going on, things that are unexplained. There's more events happening and people are catching it on cameras. I remember when I moved out here to Heartland, this kid kept coming up the basement stairs, just walking around in a circle in the hallway. He had a 70s haircut, broad shoulders. I could see what happened. He got a Mustang for his graduation gift. And they went out driving around in the car and they cracked it up into a hairline road in here, killed him. He was a wrestler over here at the high school.
Oh, wow.
And it was before Jeff graduated. It was like 1976. His name is Mike. I said, you got to leave. You're driving me nuts. He just kept walking around in a circle.
Not just this spirit, Mike, but any of the spirits. Do you think that they know when someone has ability? Do you think that's why they're drawn to you and you have so many spirits around you?
Yeah. Like I drove through that cemetery. Spirit looked right at me. He knew I could see him.
I don't know if you heard about the new Teslas, Sophia, but a lot of paranormal investigators that do have Teslas or they're even renting the cars to go out and do graveyard investigations because the Tesla can actually detect like an SLS figure on each side of the car or in front or back. There's a group that I had on my channel, Barrier Beyond, where they did some of those tests and they really did work. Even crazier, they put the REM pod in the back seat and it was going off like they were hitching a ride from the cemetery, driving around with them.
Seen those, yeah.
I've got pictures of going through the graveyard. Headstones. I did one from coming back from Holy Hill, which is a really well-known church out here. Came back and I stopped at a cemetery just out of the blue. I have it pinned to my Instagram account. And the guy started talking to me right away. He had a lot of horses. And on his headstone, a horse fence with his horses. I said, you've got two sons? He said, I do. Your sons are living with your wife, aren't they?
Oh my God, you knew all of that? That is crazy. Courtney, what's that question that you had asked Danielle last week about the graveyards? I want to know Sophia's take on it.
I've always heard, and obviously I'm not a medium or anything like that, so this is all just like conjecture from my research, but a few different places that I've seen are people saying that graveyards are typically not as haunted as like a really old house or something like that. It doesn't seem like you have that opinion though. Do you mind explaining that?
Yeah, they are. They're haunted.
Okay.
Some of the cemeteries are the last resting place for that person. They're sitting on the ground there in their casket. And a lot of the couples, they pass away close together. You can see them there and they'll talk to me. Either the husband will talk to me first, or he'll talk for both of them. And there's a girl, her name is Rachel. She was murdered at the age of 15.
Oh my gosh, poor thing.
Yeah, it's one of the cemeteries is really old here. Google cemeteries, and you should be able to go online and look at that particular cemetery, and they should have pictures or posts of who's in that cemetery. I found that out.
Yep. Yeah, there's also Find a Grave. I use that a lot.
I go right to that cemetery. They'll bring me some of the cemetery, the pots that are in there. This one over here in Heartland, right down the street from me, it's it's the old one, and then there's some up on top of the hill. Then another one. But the one over here on top of the hill is old, and I know they're there, and they won't talk to me. I'm telling them, I'm leaving. I'm getting in my car. Then some of them will start talking to me. Then I just get in my car, go up the hill, the other one. And then they start talking up there.
And if and when you encounter a skeptic in your path, how do you explain to someone about the paranormal realm?
My husband doesn't really believe in what I do. Even the producers from Josh Gates asked him, how accurate is your, 99.9% accurate. Okay, huh? How do you know that if you don't believe in what I do? I think he's just being
a dude.
That is the big question these days. So I tell him, you better get back to God. There was a lady sitting next to me. She was 78 years old. I bent over to say goodbye to her at this funeral. And I said, I wish you well. I pray for you. And she said, I don't believe in God. Maybe you should. And I sat back down next to her. I said, maybe you should. And I'll tell you why. Because I've made it this far. Every time I had to have a surgery, I sat down and talked to God and I prayed to him. 50% of my stuff was I prayed to God and asked him to make sure I got through this. The other part was medical. I'm still here for a reason. I suggest you do the same if you want to beat cancer like I have. I've been going through cancer since I've been 20. I had about 40 surgeries and I tell people I'm a pastor, but I've got a private life. I divide it. Here's my private life. Here's my professional life, whatever.
You have such a positive outlook on life. You really do.
I am not done doing what I've got to do. I believe at one point in time I did talk to God. So you can take my suggestion or not.
What advice can you give people, Sophia, if they just learned that they have abilities or even something as simple as someone wanting to try and contact a loved one?
What you want to do is probably first get yourself a security camera, an app on your phone, and watch it. You'll be able to see the spirits move around your house. They go by the wall. They go by this one other chair right in front of the camera. I can hear them. They make like a crunching sound. That's their energy.
Like a staticky
kind of crackling.
That's them. They're in the
room. That makes sense.
I had one in a window facing out. And I heard that all the time in that window. Maybe it's the heat vent or whatever. Then I had another camera. I thought, no, there's something in here. And that's what it was. But then I started zooming in. I can see them in the kitchen. They walk around the island. Heavy duty used bar stools. And you can see them sitting there. They came with the bar stools. People don't realize they have to deal with it every day.
But you seem like you have a really good handle on it though.
That's why I always do a cleansing every 2 weeks in this house. I tell the good ones you can stay. The other ones you get out.
Right. If they're going to do no good or wreak havoc under your roof, then yeah, they definitely need to move on.
Here's the boot.
I'm commanding you to leave in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Well, as we're getting down to the end of this episode, first of all, Sophia, I've had goosebumps off and on this entire episode with your stories. But Courtney, do you have any last questions that you want to ask her?
Honestly, I feel like a lot of my questions about the other side, a lot of them have been answered tonight. Other than, I guess I do have those silly questions that we ask at the end.
Yes, we always ask our guests one or two questions just to get to know them. Just funny ones. So I ask, if you could be a flavor of ice cream, what would it be and why?
Dark chocolate. Cedar Crest.
Finally, someone that said right chocolate.
Mine. I love chocolate.
I am a chocolate fiend. I'm right there with you.
Just give me chocolate any day of the week. Best flavor.
Yes, hands down, best flavor ever. 4 o'clock in the morning, I would send Jake out to get candy bars for me. But go ahead, Courtney.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's answered that yet. They always go to some sort of like off the wall.
Yeah, off the top of my head, I think David was Jamocha something. And then Danielle had mint chocolate. We like the chocolate part. We like the color, but we don't like the mint.
Yeah. So this one's kind of topical. If you could have a cryptid as a pet, which one would you choose? And what would you name it? I don't know, Fair. I think it's fun.
Because we love cryptids. So just out of all of them.
That, I had a dog that passed away, Yorkie, before these two. And after she passed, I could hear her bark. My pet Isabella.
Animals do come back in spirits.
Oh, yeah. Of course they do. For sure.
I had a woman on here 2 weeks ago. First name was Patty. She's from Florida. And the first thing I got was a vision of a white dog. I said, "We have a white dog?" She said, "I did. By you. You're kidding." I said, "No, you had a white dog."
That's awesome.
I got these two here. Isabella wouldn't leave me. I got her as a rescue pet. At first, she wouldn't go anywhere. These two here are sisters. The Yorkie just sends it on to me all the time, like when I sleep at night.
Aw, pets are the best cuddlers, though. They're so cute. All right, so my second question, who is your favorite band or musician?
Oh, that's a hard one. I have a few of them. You guys are going to know how old I am then. Who sings the song Ring of Fire? Or what is his name?
I can look it up. Hold on.
It was the theme song for Goodfellas.
Did you just say Goodfellas? Okay, you're now my favorite person in line with Courtney. Any mafia movies, but God, Goodfellas, Ray Liotta as Henry Hill, De Niro, even like The Sopranos, anything that's mafia driven, that's my shit.
Oh, here it is. Harry Nilsson, Jump into the Ring.
We'll have to look that up.
Yes, we will look it up. Because every time a guest answers what their favorite musician or song is, then we put that for the closing music of the episode. But all right, Courtney, go ahead. Last one.
So this one's more of a thinker, but what is the best piece of advice you've ever gotten from a stranger?
That I've gotten from a stranger?
Yeah.
I love this question, Courtney. It's a good one.
Walmart, I came out and here this guy is taking his door, smashing my Mercedes. He says, ready to move your car. I said, why? I'm parked right beside you. You're smashing your door into my car? What for? He wouldn't answer me. I just smashed it right into my Mercedes. And then he tried to get away. I couldn't believe it. And there's customers walking around too, like waiting to see what we're going to do. One carry a bat with me.
They were ready for an MMA fight.
Break out in the parking lot.
I do watch MMA. And my brother taught me how to fight.
I think all of us these days need to take a self-defense class because the crime is getting just outrageous. But anyway, we do want to catch up with you in a couple months, Sophia, to check in, see how you're doing, how you're feeling. We'd love to have you come on for a part two, if and when you can, of course.
Somebody asked me, you are the real deal. I said, I am the real deal.
Sophia, with all the details that you gave me with your stories and what happens in your daily life, you are the real deal. And I appreciate you so much for letting us into your life a little bit, because a lot of people do want to keep this sealed. We hope that maybe some listeners out there, and from what Sophia has told us today, can help you find your path if you're able to talk to spirits or what to do with the abilities and gifts that you've been given. Again, thank you so much for giving us your time. We definitely want to keep in touch for that part two.
Okay.
Thanks for coming.
Wonderful to speak with you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
We hope that you enjoyed the eerie tale that we spun for you today. Remember, we drop episodes on the 1st, the 10th, and the 20th of every month. So don't miss out on your regular dose of macabre content and hit that follow button if you haven't already. We're haunting all the streaming platforms so you can catch us wherever you prefer. Connect with us on the dark corners of social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and TikTok. We're lurking around every corner. For those of you who crave more details, check out studiosessions.blog. It's an extension of our show, which features detailed show notes, links, audio and visual aids, and more. This year is all about sharing, because sharing is caring. So help us reach new listeners by spreading the word. Share your favorite episode and let's build a community of sinister seekers. Keep your eyes and ears peeled for exclusive content and goodies. Merch is out now. So visit our Instagram page or Linktree and pick you up some of the Undead collection. But before we go, do us a solid, leave us a rating or review, because crafting these epic episodes takes so much work. Your love and feedback mean the world to Courtney and I. So until next time, Sinister Seekers, stay true.
Stay you.
Stay sinister.